Tonight we're looking at the fifth and sixth trumpets from Revelation chapter 9. So if you turn with me in your Bible to Revelation chapter 9, if you want notes that accompany these teachings, you can go to delessons.org and download the notes that accompany all of these audio tapes. Revelation chapter 9, verses 1 through 21. The fifth angel sounded his trumpet, and I saw a star that had fallen from the sky to the earth. The star was given the key to the shaft of the abyss, or the bottomless pit. And when he opened the abyss, the smoke rose up from it like the smoke from a gigantic furnace. The sun and the sky were darkened by the smoke from the abyss. And out of the smoke, locusts came down upon the earth and were given power like that of scorpions on the earth. They were told not to harm the grass of the earth or any plant or tree, but only those people who did not have the seal of God on their foreheads. They were not given power to kill them, that is mankind, but only to torture them for 5 months. And the agony they suffered was like that of a sting of a scorpion when it strikes a man. During those days, men will seek death, but will not find it. They will long to die, but death will elude them. The locusts look like horses prepared for battle. On their heads they wore something like crowns of gold, and their faces resembled human faces. Their hair was like women's hair, and their teeth were like lions' teeth. They had breastplates like breastplates of iron, and the sound of their wings was like the thundering of many horses and chariots rushing into battle. They had tails and stings like scorpions, and in their tails they had power to torment people for 5 months. They had as king over them the angel of the abyss, whose name in Hebrew is Abaddon, and in Greek, Apollyon, which means destroyer. The first woe is past. Two other woes are yet to come. The sixth angel sounded his trumpet, and I heard a voice coming from the horns of the golden altar that is before God. It said to the sixth angel who had the trumpet, "Release the four angels who are bound at the great river Euphrates." And the four angels, who had been kept ready for this very hour and day and month and year, were released to kill a third of mankind. The number of the mounted troops was 200 million. I heard their number. The horses and the riders I saw in my vision looked like this. Their breastplates were fiery red, dark blue, and yellow as sulfur. The heads of the horses resembled the heads of lions, and out of their mouths came fire, smoke, and sulfur. A third of mankind was killed by the three plagues of fire, smoke, and sulfur that came out of their mouths. The power of the horses was in their mouths and in their tails, for their tails were like snakes having heads with which they inflict injury. The rest of mankind that were not killed by these plagues still did not repent of the works of their hands. They did not stop worshiping demons and idols of gold, silver, bronze, stone, and wood, idols that cannot see or hear or walk. Nor did they repent of their murders, their magic arts, their sexual immorality, or their thefts. Lord, we ask tonight as we look at this passage that we'd receive from you what your Spirit is saying to your people right now, Lord. And help us to have insight into this scripture, give us ears to hear what it's saying, and help us to adjust our lives according to your purposes and your will. Strengthen us by your grace. And we ask for strengthening in our inner man, that Christ may feel free to dwell within our hearts and every part of our being for your glory and purpose, that you might manifest your purpose on this earth. I ask tonight in Jesus' name. Amen. Revelation chapter 9 and verse 1. The fifth angel sounded his trumpet, and I, John, saw a star that had fallen from the sky to the earth. The star was given the key to the shaft of the abyss, or the bottomless pit. What we see here is the fifth angel sounded his trumpet, and John saw a star that had fallen from the sky to the earth. A star sometimes signifies one in high position or even a supernatural being. For instance, in Numbers 24:17, there shall come a star out of Jacob. That's talking about the Messiah. Angels are called stars, Job 38:7. In Isaiah 14:12, we have Satan referred to as, it says this, "How art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning?" The star had fallen from the sky to the earth. And it seems, therefore, that Satan himself is referred to by this symbol. The words "he" in verse 2 and the word "king" in verse 11 show us that this is a person rather than a literal star. Now, it says here that the star was given the key, or this person was given the key, to the shaft of the bottomless pit or the abyss. Satan, or either a demonic angel, was given a key to the shaft of the abyss or the bottomless pit. The abyss or bottomless pit is a place in the depths of the earth where evil spirits were thought to be imprisoned. Luke 8:31. The demons cried out to Jesus, "Don't send us down into the deep. Don't send us to that place of confinement that these evil spirits were confined in and imprisoned." Satan, then, if he is the star, then Satan here is pictured as opening the lid or the door of this abyss where these demons were closed and locked down. So that now, through Satan opening the lid or opening the door to this abyss or this bottomless pit, these demons were released upon the earth to inflict men and women. Verse 2. "And when he," Satan, "opened the abyss, smoke rose from it like smoke from a gigantic furnace. The sun and the sky were darkened by the smoke from the abyss. And out of the smoke, locusts came down upon the earth, and were given power like that of scorpions on the earth. They were told not to harm the grass of the earth or any plant or tree, but to harm only those people who did not have the seal of God on their foreheads." Here the star, Satan, used his key to allow demons to be released from this abyss to come out and afflict men upon the earth. Visibly, this event was represented by great smoke, a darkening sky and sun. And out of this smoke came some creatures, in which John called them locusts, with a deadly sting of a scorpion. While they were harmless to natural vegetation and trees, most locusts attacked vegetation and trees and things like this, but these were harmless to natural vegetation. But what they did have power over is that they stung people who did not have the seal of God upon their foreheads. Verse 5. "They were not given power to kill mankind or kill people, but only to torture them for a period of 5 months." 5 months fits approximately the lifespan of a normal locust, a bug. I'm talking about a bug, a locust, usually from May to September. They have a 5-month lifespan. But these were not ordinary locusts. They were demonic forces that were likened to a locust, except they had this power to torture and to kill and had this sting like a scorpion. Continuing in verse 5, and the agony they suffered was like that of a sting of a scorpion when it strikes a man. During those days, men will seek death, but will not find it. They will long to die, but death will elude them. This demonic torture that is being released upon the earth because Satan was allowed to open the door, so to speak, of the bottomless pit, the abyss, and the smoke came up, and these locusts, these demonic forces came all over the earth and afflicted men, tormented men, very painful. And they wanted to die, and they probably tried to commit suicide and all of these kind of things, but death eluded them. They could not die. Now let's go on and see verse 7, what happens. The locusts looked like horses prepared for battle. On their heads, they wore something like crowns of gold, and their faces resembled human faces. Their hair was like women's hair, and their teeth were like lion's teeth. They had breastplates like breastplates of iron, and the sound of their wings was like the thundering of many horses and chariots rushing into a battle. They had tails and stings like scorpions, and in their tails had power to torment people for 5 months. They had a king over them, the angel of the abyss, whose name in Hebrew was Abaddon and in Greek Apollyon, and which means destroyer. Now here's what's going on. The description of the locust compared to horses prepared for battle is awesome. We see these locusts that had human faces. They had crowns of gold on their head. They had women's hair. They had teeth like lions. They had iron-like breastplate, and they had wings that sounded like horse-drawn chariots rushing into battle. Obviously, John was describing what he saw, but he did not interpret each characteristic that he was sharing with us. He was only telling us what he saw. In reality, what this is a picture of Satan's supernatural power and the demonic world, especially in relation to unbelievers and to the torment that he's bringing upon humanity. The demons had a ruler over them. In Hebrew, Abaddon, in Greek, Apollyon, both of these words mean destroyer. Though Satan is portrayed in the scripture, 2 Corinthians 11:14, as being an angel of light, here Satan and his demons are seen for what they really are. They're destroyers of people. As Christ described it in Matthew 24:21, this will be a time of great distress, unequaled from the beginning of the world. Verse 12. The first woe is past. Two other woes are yet to come. Now we're going to look at the sixth trumpet. The fifth trumpet described the first woe and is now followed by two final trumpets, also called woes. If you look at Revelation 8:13, woe, woe, woe to the inhabitants of the earth. The sixth angel sounded, verse 13, his trumpet, and I heard a voice coming from the horns of the altar that is before God. It said to the sixth angel who had a trumpet, release the four angels who are bound at the great river of Euphrates. And the four angels who had been kept ready for this very hour, this very time, day and month and year, were released to kill a third of mankind. At the sounding of the sixth trumpet, John heard a voice coming from the horns of the golden altar that is before God. The sixth angel was then instructed to release these four angels bound by the Euphrates rivers. These four angels are clearly demons or demonic, as holy angels are not bound. The release of these four angels is timed to a particular hour, day, month, and year. At that particular time when they are released to kill a third of the world's population. We saw from the fourth seal in Revelation chapter 6, verse 7 and 8, that fourth seal, when it was opened, resulted in a fourth of the earth's people being killed. Here we see a third of the earth is put to death. These two judgments alone would account for the death of over half of the earth's population. This fact can be taken literally as it's confirmed by statements in Daniel 12:1, and the words of Jesus in Matthew 24:21, that the world would end, the total world would end in death of all mankind if it was not stopped by the second coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Matthew 24:22 said this, except those days should be shortened, there should no flesh, no person be saved, but for the elect's sake, those days shall be shortened. In Revelation 9:16, it goes on now, the number of the mounted troops, John saw here, 200 million. I heard their number, he said. The loosing of these four angels resulted in releasing an army of 200 million mounted troops. Even if taken symbolically, this figure clearly represents an overwhelming military force here. Some interpreters say these are millions and millions of demons being released upon the earth. You know, as I thought about it, I thought, could that really be possible that kind of demonic force could be released all over this earth? You know, I thought of the man that Jesus cast the demon out of, and Jesus said to the demon in the man, he said, what is your name? And the demon said, my name is Legion, for we are many. A legion was about 10,000 in a military Roman army. Was it really possible that 10,000 unclean spirits was in the man that Jesus freed by his word? If that be so, then we can see the true possibility of millions and millions of the demonic forces being released out of this abyss, out of this bottomless pit, upon the earth to afflict men. Now, some have thought that these mounted troops that ride on horses, although they're really not identified in Scripture as to who they really are, they could be literal soldiers, or they could be demonic forces. The fact that John heard the number 200 million seems to lend credence to the concept that this is literal. There are many, many forces here being released upon this earth to torment men. Verse 17, the horses and the riders I saw in my vision looked like this. Their breastplates were fiery red, dark blue, and yellow as sulfur. The heads of the horses resembled the heads of lions, and out of their mouths came fire, smoke, and sulfur. A third of mankind was killed by the three plagues of fire, smoke, and sulfur that came out of their mouths. The power of the horses was in their mouths and in their tails, for their tails were like snakes, having heads with which they inflict injury. Verses 17 through 19 here of Revelation 9. The horses and their riders had breastplates of red, dark blue, and yellow. The lion-like heads of the horses imply something other than a natural horse. And furthermore, John declared, out of their mouths came fire and smoke and sulfur. Some have taken this as a picture of modern warfare, including the use of armed vehicles such as army tanks and things like this. In this case of the riders of the horses, the text does not say whether they are human or whether they're demonic beings, whether they're symbolic or literal, the passage certainly implies terrible destruction and an awesome invading force. The results are twice stated that included the death of a third of mankind. In Revelation 6:8, we began with 25% of the world's population being killed in one judgment. And now a third of the remaining 75% will be killed. So with the completion of these two judgments, nearly half of the world's population will have perished. Verse 20. The rest of mankind that were not killed by these plagues still did not repent of the work of their hands. They did not stop worshiping demons and idols of gold, silver, bronze, and stone, and wood, idols that cannot see or hear or walk. Nor did they repent of their murders, their magic arts, their sexual immorality, or their thefts. Though this judgment was devastating from the hand of God, it did not bring men to repentance. They continued to worship demons that were represented by idols and kept on murdering and practicing the occult. Literally, in the Greek, we have the word pharmakia, which we get our word pharmacy from, drugs and sexual immorality and thievery. Think about it. When the demonic forces, thousands of millions of these demonic forces being released upon the earth, it's mixed with things, these vile sins that are mentioned here. One of them being the magical arts and the pharmakia, which we get our word pharmacy. There's going to be an abundance of drugs. Does it sound like something today? Abundance of drugs. People are on drugs. They're just killing people, acting crazy, you know, murdering their spouses, doing all kinds of things because the demonic force behind them are strengthened through the magical art, the drugs, the pharmakia, the scriptures say, of which these people are partaking of. So this trumpet judgment clearly grows worse and worse and more devastating. In spite of the clear evidence of God's power to judge the world, no evidence was given by the Apostle John here that there's any change of heart on the part of the great mass of humanity. You know, Jesus said, the road is wide. The road of destruction, many are on it. Only a few choose the narrow road of Jesus Christ to follow him. Though this sixth judgment produces fear, it appears that most, if not all, of humanity refuse to repent. You know, I'm amazed as I prepared this teaching today, and I was just saturating myself in the scriptures in Revelation chapter 9 and thinking about this, and it was just revealing to me more and more of the tremendous amount of demonic oppression that is on the earth and it's causing people to do crazy things like we see on the news, you know, people killing people for no reason, just killing people. The drug cartels in certain areas of the world is so dangerous you can't even go into their country any longer without the fear of being killed and tormented and destroyed. And behind it all, 2 Corinthians 4:4, the little G-O-D, God of this world, is playing havoc. And we're reading about in Revelation chapter 9 even more release of these demonic forces to make havoc in the world, taking the peace off of the earth, men hating men, households divided, the craziness of this world. And it's amazing to me that it has even affected the church world. You know, there are pastors today in churches that don't even believe that what I'm saying today is real. They don't even believe there's a demonic realm. They don't even have an idea that the forces of evil behind them are unclean spirits and ultimately their leader and king, Satan himself. You know, it's amazing to me that theologians have twisted and changed the scripture so that they won't even acknowledge Mark chapter 16, saying these signs will follow the believer, that in my name, in the name of Jesus Christ our Lord, we shall cast out devils. It amazes me that our religious systems deny the power of God. That's the only hope for us to be freed and delivered from this demonic oppression that is coming against us. You know, Ephesians chapter 6 says, take on the whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, to still be standing and not defeated at the end of the day, because you have the armor of God. You have all of Jesus' mighty weapons that he will use when he comes and returns to this earth. Actually, Ephesians chapter 6, the armor of God is the armor that Jesus will wear himself when he returns to this earth to deliver us from all enemies and all of his enemies. As I was thinking through this today and meditating on Revelation chapter 9, I thought of the many, many, many times in my Christian life where I've seen demonic forces overseas. I've seen demons throw people on the floor. But I've seen in the United States of America where we're too smart. Everything's a medical cause. You know, Jesus went into a synagogue one day, and there was a woman there. I mean, she was bent over, and she couldn't even lift herself up. And Jesus, the way that he healed her in that particular instance, was by rebuking the spirit of infirmity that was in her. I am convinced that there's diseases and plagues coming upon this earth that are in this earth right now that a person will never be free of until they acknowledge what we're seeing in Revelation chapter 9. There are demonic forces, and they even oppress people in their bodies. You know, Acts 10:38, it said Jesus went about doing good, healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. You know, Jesus healed people. And in Acts 10:38, it implies that many of these people that had these physical elements were oppressed by the devil and needed deliverance from the demonic forces. You know, we have an epidemic of cancer. We have an epidemic of diseases that we never even heard of years ago. It's time that the church wakes up. It's time for the leaders of the church to wake up. And for us to fast, to pray, to take the authority. For Jesus said, all authority in heaven and earth, all power in heaven and earth has been given unto me. You go therefore, and I'll go with you, even unto the end of the age. You know, one day, many years ago, before I was married, I was only like 20, probably 24, 25 years old. And I had met this girl in Ponca City, Oklahoma, and I had witnessed to her about Christ. Her ear was turned towards Christ. She was listening very intently. We became good friends, and she actually turned to the Lord. As far as I could tell, she turned to the Lord. And I later went to Tulsa, and I went to a Bible college there for a little while. And this girl, her name was Candy, she also got a job in Tulsa and was working as, well, actually in a blood bank. She was kind of a nurse that drew blood. And one day I visited her, and I got in her automobile with her, and we were driving down one of the streets there in Tulsa, Oklahoma. And suddenly, out of nowhere, she began to violently shake, and just beat the steering wheel. And I reached over and I put my hands on her and I rebuked the devil and took authority over the devil. And I said, can you get to the side of the road? She said, I think I can get over here to my apartment. So we pulled over. Her apartment was close. We went into her apartment. There was a friend there from Bible school that was also meeting us there. And I said to him, Gary, Candy's having some problems. She's being attacked by evil spirits. And he was kind of like, oh, yeah, sure. It only took him about 30 seconds to change his mind. When she began to pound the tables and the furniture in her apartment, shake violently, her eyes were dilated like half dollars. I'm exaggerating, but I'm trying to tell you how it was. It was, you just have to see it. And she was pounding the furniture and shaking violently. And then this demon would manifest. And then she would come to her head and she said, "Oh, please help me. Nothing like this has ever happened to me before. Please help me. I'm scared. Nothing like this has ever happened to me before." And Gary says to me, "What shall we do?" And I said, "Well, I'll tell you what we're going to do." You know, in the Bible, there's gifts of the Holy Spirit. And those gifts are for the purpose of helping people. Let's pray and let's ask God right now. You know, the demons were manifesting right there in front of us. I said, let's ask God for the discerning of spirits so that we'll know who these spirits are and how we can deal with those and take authority over them. He said, okay. So we prayed. And sure enough, God supernaturally began to give us insight into the demonic situation that was in my friend, Candy. And we began to call them out one by one by name. You say, "Well, I never heard of such a thing." Well, Jesus asked a demon one time, "What's your name?" He said, "Legion." The Bible says in 2 Timothy 1:7, God did not give us a spirit of fear, but a power of love and a sound mind. You know, there's a natural fear. If you step off the curb, you can get run over in the road. So that's something natural. But there's a, what the Bible calls, a spirit of fear. A spirit of fear is not natural. It drives people. It compels people. It terrifies people. I'm just saying that to say that the demonic realm, there are names, and it appears that there's ranks within this demonic realm. If you look at Ephesians chapter 6, verse 11 and 12, you'll see the rank of those demonic forces. So anyway, we prayed, asked God for the discerning of spirits. These demons were manifesting. Candy was crying out, "Please help me, help me. Nothing like this has ever happened to me before. Please help me. I'm scared." We took authority over those devils, and those devils came out of her. And in a short period of time, she was delivered. Well, that evening, actually, we were in a friend's apartment, I guess, the Bible school student's apartment. I got my little bit mixed up on this. But she went to her home, and Candy asked me to come over. I went over to her home. She had another apartment. There was another apartment, another place. And she said to me, "Don," she said, "I hate to ask you this, but could you stay in the house tonight?" I said, she said, "I'm so scared. I've never had anything like this ever happen to me. And I'm scared. Could you just stay in the apartment with me tonight? I mean, I'm going to be upstairs in my bedroom sleeping with my children." She was a single mom with two children. She was not married. And I was not married at the time. And I said, "Candy, it would not look right for me to be in this apartment overnight." She said, "But I am so scared. I'm just asking you to sleep on the couch there just to be in the house because I'm so afraid." So she convinced me to do that. And I did. I spent that night and I laid there on the couch and went to sleep. And the next morning, she got up and her children got dressed and a church bus came by to pick up her children to go to church. As soon as those children got on the church and Candy sat down on the couch where I was, immediately those demons started manifesting again. She began to violently shake. She began to tremble and just start, you know, beating, hitting things. And I learned something there that evening. And this is what I learned. Let me just tell you what happened. I said to the demonic force, not to Candy, I said to the demonic force, I said, "Last night, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, I cast you out." The Bible says I had authority to cast you out. The Bible says, "In Jesus' name, you will have to flee." And I cast you out. I gave you a command to leave this girl and leave her body. And you, I commanded you to leave last night. And as far as I'm concerned, you are gone. You must obey the name and person of Jesus Christ. Did you know those demonic manifestations ceased? And she was delivered of those demons right at that time. Well, what the devil wanted to do is get me into the natural, looking with my eyes. What do I see with my eyes? Instead, I took the shield of faith in the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. I made the command in Jesus' name for them to depart. I stood on the Word of God rather than what I was seeing. And you know what? She was delivered of those demonic forces. And she turned to the Lord with her heart to serve Christ. People, I've seen it all over the world. I saw it in Africa when I traveled in Africa. I've seen it in the United States in several occasions. I even seen it in a Baptist church early in my Christian life where a lot of people were being freed from the demonic forces that were tormenting and had tormented them for many, many years in their life. People, it's time to wake up and to acknowledge that there are demonic forces that have been released upon the earth. They want to kill, steal, and destroy. They want to kill individuals. Why do you think the suicide rates are so up among teenagers? There are spiritual forces behind that. And it's time that the pastors of this nation, that the Christian people of this nation wake up, look at the Scripture, believe the Scripture, quit trying to twist the Scripture, quit trying to deny the Scripture, quit trying to push it away. Jesus said the kingdom of God is not in word only, but also in power. We have to carry the power of Jesus Christ and His Word so that this world will see the true revelation of the person of Christ. There is an opposing force. It is darkness. And Paul's commission in Acts 26:18, it's the same commission for you and I, is to turn people from darkness to light, to turn people from the authority of Satan unto the authority of God. And through that act of turning, which is called repentance and faith, they receive forgiveness of sins and the promise of an inheritance that all of God's children shall receive. Let this message in Revelation chapter 9 and what's coming upon this world challenge you today to take up the armor of God, to take your sword, the sword of the Spirit, the Word of God, to take your shield of faith, to put on your belt of truth, to put on your helmet of salvation, to put on your breastplate of righteousness, to put on your shoes of the gospel and the good news of Jesus Christ, and go forward in the midst of a fallen world where darkness reigns, and pull some out, as it says in Jude 22, pull some out of the fire and others having compassion. Father, may this word, your word tonight, the words of Jesus to your church, even through this book of Revelation, challenge us tonight to follow you and to believe you and to honor you, to love you, and to help the people. But we got to believe, Lord, before we can help someone else. We have to believe. And then we can go forth in the authority and power of Jesus' name that you've called us to. And so be it in the lives of the people that are listening to this tonight. So be it in Jesus' name. Amen.